Lord God, I pray, Father, that what you want said, what you want done, what you want received is the only thing that will come forward this morning. And I pray, Lord God, that your people, Father, will hear. Lord, they will receive, Father God, and they will act upon your word and your word alone. So, Father, we thank you and praise you now. And, Father, we surrender all to you and thank you for taking control and making it happen. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, amen. Well, it seems for me that I'm on a bit of an assignment. I've got this thing about having to talk about trouble. Trouble. And it's not a popular theme, but the important thing about talking about trouble is that when you talk about trouble, you get to talk about deliverance. You get to talk about victory. You get to talk about the fact that our God is ultimately the champion of all challenges, the champion of every contest. And so we don't want to avoid the topic of trouble, because if we do, we won't be ready. Amen. We have to be ready for trouble, because no matter what we do and how we'd like to avoid it, trouble is just a part of being on this earth and being in this world. We're going to look at some scriptures on that in just a minute. So on this slide up here, the next one, you're going to see here a group of people, and they look like they're prepared to go somewhere. What does it look like they're going? Looks like they're going to Disneyland. Well, they're misinformed. They were told they're going to someplace that's warm and sunny and that's exciting. And they thought they heard Disneyland. But actually, that's Disneyland. But what happened, the confusion, they're actually going to Afghanistan. Wow. Afghanistan. So now if you're prepared to go to Disneyland, you dress for Disneyland, your mindset is Disneyland, and you end up in Afghanistan, you're going to have some trouble, right? I mean, everybody knows Afghanistan, that's the longest sustained military battle that this United States of America has ever been involved in. So you think you're going to Disneyland, but you end up in Afghanistan. Problem. Because you are not ready. You're not ready. These guys are ready for Afghanistan. Now, you know, I always bring a little help along with me when I'm trying to teach here, so I gotta bring out my help. If I can keep my help together. My help's kind of falling apart here, but they're going to help me illustrate this, because it's a very important point that we want to make here this morning. So this sister right here, this is Sister Ready Betty. This is Ready Betty, all right? Ready Betty, and if you switch up the gender, be Ready Freddy, okay? But she's ready. This here is Sister Easy Eve. Easy Eve is not quite there. Because, see, Sister Easy Eve goes to a place and hears teaching that says that when you say what is really happening, if you state the hard facts, that that's a negative confession. And she believes the scripture that says death and life are in the power of the tongue, which is true. And Sister Ready Betty believes that also. But Sister Eve believes that once you confess that and that you don't then say anything else. But see, Sister Ready Betty's trying to let her know that the hard facts are the facts. But the word of God is not negated by the hard facts. So in order to be ready for trouble, you have to accept the hard facts that there are going to be hard times and be ready to deal with it. So now you got Sister Ready Betty, you got Sister Easy Eve, and they're both going through life. And they're both going to have the Disneyland time of life, which is great. They're both ready for that. What happens when the Afghanistan part of life hits? Who's ready? Ready Betty's ready. She's got her military gear on here, and she's ready to go. She can enjoy Disneyland, and she can also get through Afghanistan with joy and with power because she's ready. Poor Sister Eve, when she hits Afghanistan, she's going to wonder what hit her, what happened. She's going to panic. And the problem with that is that when we do that, the glory of the Lord gets tarnished. Because if you say you believe that he's your deliverer, he's your strong tower, he's your healer, he's your provider, and then trouble comes and you're panicking like the world, where's God's glory? Where's your peace? Where's your joy? We have to be ready. We have to be ready, amen? So that's what we're going to run toward this morning with this few minutes that we have here on being ready. Read this with me, please. When I leave here today, I'll be ready when trouble comes my way. Let's read it one more time. When I leave here today, I'll be ready when trouble comes my way. That is so important. It's so important that we be ready, because Jesus told us right here, he told us right there in John 16:33. He said, I have told you these things so that in me you may have perfect peace. Now, you need to take some time and read John 15 and 16 and look at the things he told them. He told them things like, people will kill you and think they're serving God. He told them things like, I'm going to be leaving you. He told them like things like, the world's going to hate you. He said, but I told you these things. I warned you. I got you ready for these things so that in me you would have perfect peace. The goal is for you to keep your peace. The Bible is full of warnings, but with every warning comes a promise of deliverance and victory. But you will maintain your peace only if you really acknowledge and understand. In the world, you will have tribulation and distress and suffering, but be courageous, be confident, be undaunted, which means unshaken, be filled with joy. I have overcome the world. My conquest is accomplished. My victory is abiding. This is Jesus talking. His victory has been won and it lasts. Nothing. So no matter what you're feeling, no matter what you're dealing with, no matter what you're experiencing, it does not change the fact that his victory is already won, and it's abiding. It's abiding. It's abiding. So we want to make sure that we understand that. If you look in Luke 22:31, you'll see Jesus again warning, providing warnings. He's talking to Peter and the rest of the disciples. He says, Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift all of you as wheat, but I've prayed for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail. That's what we are here taking a stand against. We don't want our faith to fail. Imagine what happens when our faith fails. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. We walk by faith, not by sight. If your faith fails, what happens to you? What happens to us if our faith fails? I've prayed for you that your faith may not fail. And when you have turned back, strengthen your brothers. Now, this is the interesting part. But Peter replied, Lord, I am ready. That's what we're talking about this morning, being ready. Peter said, Lord, I am ready to go with you to prison and to death. Was he ready? You know the end of the story, don't you? Verse 34, Jesus answered, I tell you, Peter, before the rooster crows three times, you will deny even knowing me. You see what trouble can do for us? Trouble can make us deny even knowing him. You won't confess it. We won't confess that we don't know him, but our actions will start working things out. We'll start manipulating situations. We'll start doing things outside of his plan and his purpose because we are panicking because of trouble. That's why we have to be ready. We can't wait till it comes to try and get ready. We have to be ready before it comes. Peter should have been, and it's easy for us in hindsight, 2020, to say this, but when Jesus said, Simon, Satan wants to sift you, his next words should have been, Jesus, what do I do? Help me out of this. What's next, Jesus? But instead, he did like a lot of us do a lot of times. He had this self-confidence. He said, oh, no, Jesus, it doesn't matter what the rest of these guys do. It doesn't matter what comes my way. Even if I have to go to prison, even if I have to, Jesus, I'm with you. I am with you. Because he thought he was ready, but he wasn't ready. And if you read that story, you'll see in there it says that when they led Jesus off, Peter followed at a distance, at a great distance. He got so far away from his power source, from his protector, from his Lord, that he got into a position where his fear overtook his confidence and overtook his faith. And that's the whole principle. It's all about us staying so close to the Lord, being right there with him, right there praising him, right there worshiping him, right there being drawn upon his power. That's what's going to get us through. So we want to be ready for trouble. So let's get into this. So we're talking about how to be ready for trouble. So ready is an acronym. The R is for righteous. We have to be righteous. The E is for encourage. We have to be encouraged. The A is for aggressive, which I think is an important one that we miss a lot, but we have to be aggressive. We have to be decisive, and we have to be yielded to the master. Righteous, encouraged, aggressive, decisive, and yielded to the master. So there's a sister like Ready Betty in the Bible that we can learn this from. She's known as the woman with the issue of blood. I call her Ready Betty. After I studied this and really read about this sister was tenacious. I just got that picture there just as an example, because when we read here in the scriptures what happened, she had to push through a crowd to get to Jesus. So imagine being at the back of that crowd, having to push your way through to get to Jesus. But that's what she did. And that's very significant. So if you go to Mark 5 and verse 21, and I'm in the New King James Version, we're gonna go through this and get some real tutoring from this sister who just exemplified what we need to do to be ready for trouble. So it says, "Now when Jesus had crossed over by boat to the other side, a great multitude gathered to him, and he was by the sea. And behold, one of the rulers of the synagogue came, Jairus by name, and when he saw him, he fell at his feet and begged him earnestly, saying, 'My little daughter lies at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her that she may be healed and she will live.' So Jesus went with him, and a great multitude followed him and thronged him. Now a certain woman who had a flow of blood for 12 years and had suffered many things from many physicians, she had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. For she said, 'If only I may touch his clothes, I will be made well.' Immediately, the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction." So she was well. She had been healed and made whole. "And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that power had gone out of him, turned around the crowd and said, 'Who touched my clothes? Who touched me?' But his disciples said to him, 'You see the multitude thronging you, and you say, who touched me?' Jesus, why would you be asking that? You know you're being touched by everybody." And he looked around to see her who had done this thing. And it goes on to say, verse 33, "But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And his response to her was, 'Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction.'" Hallelujah. So let's go back to verse 21. Let's start over again and walk through this and really look at what happened here, because here are our principles. We said to be ready means you have to be righteous, you have to be encouraged, you have to be aggressive, okay? You have to be decisive, and you have to be yielded. So let's see how she exemplified that. First of all, when you see this part, this portion of the scripture right here, it says when Jesus had crossed over, it said that Jairus came to him and talked to him about his daughter and said, "My daughter is sick. Would you please come heal her?" It has nothing to do with the woman with the issue of blood. Ready, Betty, this was not about you. This is about Jairus' daughter. But remember the A in ready? It's called aggressive. She switched it. She said, "Oh, no, no, it might be about his daughter right now, but I need something from you, Jesus. I need to be put in priority here. So I need to step to the front. I need to take action." So she was aggressive. She switched it up and made it about her. And sometimes when you're having trouble, you need to make it about you. It can't always be about everybody else and somebody. Sometimes it needs to be about you. In the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus said, "Can you not pray with me for 1 hour?" Jesus made it about himself. We have to recognize there are times when we have to make it about me. Drop our pride, drop everything else, and make it about you. He took that action, and that action is what got her going forward. Then we look at the next verse. We look at 5:25. It says, she had been dealing with this flow of blood for 12 years. 12 years. Now imagine bleeding for 12 years back then with the lack of medical treatment that they had, with the lack of sanitation that they had, with the lack of any type of way for her to really care for herself. For 12 years, she had been suffering with this. 12 long years. And was no better, but rather had grown worse. So imagine that she's got this problem. So physically, she's weakened because she's losing blood. She's financially in trouble because she spent all her money. Relationship-wise, she's got problems because no one wants to be around her. She's considered unclean. She had every problem that we could imagine. Every problem that we could imagine. And yet, she took action. She went into this crowd and she took action. And if we look at verse 27, she's aggressive, she's taking action, and we said the first letter in ready is R, righteous. It says that when she heard about Jesus, didn't say when she saw, didn't say when somebody showed her, it just says when she heard. And in Romans it says that Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him as righteousness. She just heard about Jesus. What have you heard about Jesus? What have you heard about what he can do? What have you heard about what he's capable of? The only question is, do you believe it? Do you really, really believe it? Even when situations and circumstances don't look like it, do you really believe it? She heard. And just on hearing about Jesus, just on hearing about him, she took action. She acted. And the thing that is so evident about how much she believed this is how decisive she was. The D in ready is she was decisive. When she heard, she decided. She decided when she heard that nothing is going to stop me from getting to this man. Nothing's going to stop me from getting to this solution to my problem. Nothing. She was decisive. She was determined. And right then and there, all she did was she heard. She heard. How much does it take for us before we decide? Before we decide that he is the way, the truth, and the life. Before we decide that he is the answer. Before we decide that, yes, he can and he will deliver me. There is nothing we face that Jesus Christ will not deliver us from. Nothing. 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 You will be healed. You will have your needs met. Everything you need will be taken care of. This side of heaven, other side of heaven, doesn't matter. Jesus Christ has got us. And if we have that confidence, we're moving toward being ready for trouble. What can come against me? God's for me. What can come against me? So this woman was decisive, and all she did was she just heard about Jesus. Hadn't seen him do any of those miracles that he did. And you saw that crowd. She had to really push. She had to push some people out of her way. She had some people that were blocking her from getting to what she needed, and she had to push them. She had to maneuver through them. She had to do what she had to do, but nothing was going to stop her from getting to Jesus. We have to be that decisive. We can't just make excuses. We can't say, oh, if he would, or if she would, or if they would. If she had stood back and said, oh, if this crowd would just part, I would go touch Jesus. She would have died from that condition she was in, most likely. She didn't stand back and say, if they would move, or if somebody would this, that, or the other. She pushed her way through. Yes. Aggressive. Yes. See, because when trouble comes, we have a tendency to shrink back. We have a tendency to start to doubt. And then we start to get weakened in our faith. We start to get weakened in our approach. We start to get weakened in our thinking. That's the ploy of the enemy. That's his strategy. That's why the Bible tells us to put on the full armor of God so that we will be able to stand in that evil day. Stand so your faith will not fail and you will not fall. So that's what she did. She pushed her way through. And that's what we have to do. We have to really look at these things that the Bible's teaching us and take them to heart. We got to really look at this and say, put yourself in there and say, this is me dealing with my situation. I'm going to make sure I'm righteous. I'm going to make sure that I am encouraged. I'm going to make sure that I'm aggressive. I'm going to make sure I'm decisive and I'm yielded to the Lord. And let's look on. Verse 28, she said, if only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well. If only I may touch his clothes, she said. Who was she talking to? Encourage. You must encourage yourself. You have to encourage yourself. The most powerful voice you will ever hear is the one inside of you. It is the most powerful voice you will ever hear. She said, if only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well. How does she know that? Who told her that? How does she know that if only she touched his clothes, she'd be made well? If she had said that out loud, people would have looked at her like she was crazy. But she said, if only I may touch his clothes. We have to be careful what we are saying to ourselves. This is where the scripture where death and life is in the power of tongue is to be applied. She looked at Jesus and said, if only I may touch his clothes, I'd be made well. Now, let me ask you a question. If she had touched his clothes and not gotten healed, what do you think she would have done next? You think she would have just, oh, I tried, it didn't work, so. I believe Jesus would have had to hold on to his robe to keep her from pulling it off of him. She would have grabbed onto that robe and she would not have let go until she got her healing. She would have been on that robe and Jesus would have been trying to move and she's like, nope, you are not going anywhere until I get my healing. If you're determined enough to push through a crowd, you're determined enough to ignore your bloody condition, you're determined enough to just hear about this man, you're not going to walk away just because you didn't immediately get it. He's not going anywhere until you get what you need. You are not letting go. You are not giving up. You are not walking away. There's just no way. You're not going to heal Jairus' daughter right now, Jesus. You got to deal with me. I need healing. They said you're going to heal somebody. Here's the healing right here. And you got to be that tenacious about it. God is not intimidated by your tenacity. Okay? He is not intimidated by your tenacity. If you need something from him and you are like that woman who was going to the unjust judge and you keep knocking and you keep nagging and you keep hanging in there, God is not intimidated. As a matter of fact, at the end of this, it says, he says, your faith, your tenacity has caused you to be healed. She wouldn't have let him go. You know she wouldn't have let him go. This story would have been written a whole different way. It would have been the disciples had to go get Jesus some more clothes because the woman ripped his robe up trying to hold on to him. She would not have let him go because she believed and she understood. She understood. Apply this to our lives. Apply this to our lives. Verse 29 was the good news for her. This is why we talk about trouble, because trouble doesn't scare us. Trouble doesn't intimidate us because our God is mightier than any trouble that can come our way. That's why we're not afraid. That's why we don't have to walk around in denial. Do you know, Lisa and I know some people who can't even say they're sick when they're sick. They have to find ways of saying it differently because it might be a negative confession. You think this woman right here was concerned about saying she was sick? Do you think she was concerned about anybody knowing about her condition? She didn't care. She knew what she needed, and she was going after it, and this is what she got. Immediately she was healed. Now, it's not always immediate. That's why we talked about what would she do if it hadn't have been immediate. We know from her actions, we know from her attitude, that would not have been the end of the story. But for her, immediately, her fountain of blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. So she was a righteous woman because she believed Jesus. She heard about him, and she believed it. She was encouraged because she encouraged herself. She said, if only I touch the hem of his robe, touch his clothes, I'm going to be healed. She encouraged herself.
She was aggressive. She pushed through the crowd. She switched the narrative. It was about Jairus' daughter. She said, oh, no, let's flip this script, change the paradigm. It's about me now. She was aggressive, and she was decisive. As soon as she heard about Jesus, she said, I'm going to get mine. They said, there's a man over there that can heal your body. He's done it before. He'll do it again. She said, I'm going. Nothing's going to stop me. She was decisive. And then, if we look at Mark 5:32, this is where Jesus looked around and said, let's back up. Let's go to Mark, let's back up to 5:31. There you go. So Jesus is asking, you know, who touched me? And his disciples said to him, you see the multitude thronging you, and you say, who touched you? So he's looking for this woman now. And now she's a little bit concerned. She's like, ooh, I don't really know Jesus. I know about him. I trust him. He's healed me. But now he wants to talk to me, or he wants to see me. So now she's a little bit concerned. And so now she's having to invoke some courage because Jesus is looking for her. Next verse. And he looked around to see her who had done this thing. And then in verse 33, but the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. She was fearing and trembling, but her fear did not stop her from yielding to the Lord. Lord, what do you want? What do you want to know? Yes, it was me, Lord. Yes, what do you need, Lord? Yielding to the Lord. She was yielded completely. Whatever he needed at that point, she was right there. Remember when he healed the 10 lepers? Remember what happened there? They ran on off. She could have done that. She's in this big, huge crowd. She could have slipped away easily. But she kept following. She stayed right there. And when he turned around, she was there to give him the glory. She gave him his glory. She yielded to give him his glory. Do we do that? When we do get through trouble, do we stop and yield and take time to give him glory for what he's done? Or do we thank the person who maybe came through with a loan? Or do we thank Kaiser Permanente? Or do we thank this relative or that? Or do we stop and say, it was him. It was him that healed me. It was him that delivered me. And yield and give him glory. It's the formula. That's the formula. So that's what she did. So she was righteous because she believed him. She was encouraged because she told herself he could do it. She was aggressive because she didn't let anything stop her from getting to him. She was decisive and determined. She made a decision. She didn't wait. She didn't hesitate. She didn't go ask for advice from people who didn't know. She made a decision and she went after him, determined, and got him. And then when she got her healing, she yielded to his glory. That's what we need to do. That's where we need to be. You know why? Because if you look on this slide here, this next one, the reason we need to be like that is because we have the victory already. We have it, people. Men and women of God, we have it. We need to walk like it. We need to talk. People should be asking you, how are you staying so cool and calm with all you're going through? How are you dealing with this? How do you manage to keep a smile on your face? How do you manage to still walk around like you've got all this peace and all this joy? And I know what's going on in your life. People need to ask you that question. If they're not asking you that question, then you have to wonder, what are you showing them? What are they seeing when they look at you? Trouble cannot stop us. Sickness, he's our unfailing healer. Death, we have eternal life. We don't die. We have eternal life. Financial trouble, he will supply our needs. And it goes on. Relationship troubles, he'll make even our enemies to be at peace with us, let alone our relatives, amen? When we please him. Loneliness, he'll never leave us nor forsake us. Opposition, nothing can stand against us. God before us, what can come against us? When you walk out that door today, you will experience Disneyland sometimes. You will experience Afghanistan a lot of time. Will you be ready? Will you be ready? Will you? Will you be righteous? Will you be encouraged? Will you encourage yourself? Will you say what he says? That my God shall supply all my need. That he is my healer. That nothing can stand against me. That he will do exceedingly abundantly above all I can ask or think by the power that works in me. Ready. If you're going to be ready, you ought to be able to say this next thing that I'm going to put up here with conviction. In Psalms it says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but God delivers us from them all. Can you comfortably, confidently say this? Is there a check in your spirit right now that says, I know what you're saying, I can say that, but live that? Is there a check in your heart right now that would make it difficult for you to really, really make this confession and have it stand? Pastor Todd, we can get ready to look at my clock wind down. I want you to read this with me, but I want you to really, really be able to say it from your heart. And in a few minutes, I'm going to come back up. And if you have trouble with this in any way, if you need to spend a few minutes with someone walking through what you're dealing with, through the wisdom of the Word of God, so that you can confidently say this, we'll have that opportunity. So right now, if you would, read this with me. It says, I can't stop trouble. It will certainly come. But trouble can't stop me because I've already won. Amen? Do you believe that? Can you really do that? Then the Lord has done his job here. Amen? Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.